Have you ever wondered what it's like to work a full-time job and run a consistent pop-up? For me, I don't pop up regularly, but I do produce a show that airs every week, and I've chosen my grind. Or is it grit? For Horacio of Tio's Pizza, he's chosen his. Horacio, or Theo as he's more commonly known, has a regular 9-to-5 job. Actually, he starts and ends much earlier, and that's how he's able to run a consistent pop-up. He's able to do prep after work, do last-minute errands, and he's able to get out there on Friday, Saturday, or any other random day of the week and do a dinner service. Theo is not afraid of long hours and hard work. And that's because he loves what he does. He loves cooking and loves experimenting. We didn't talk too much about it on the podcast, but I see it. I see the way he adores food and he loves making pizza and sharing it with the good folks of San Jose. In this episode, Theo talks to us about how he got the name Theo. He also talks to us about how he started his pop-up and manages it, and also gives some amazing insight on how he makes his pop-up work, cooking Detroit-style pizza on the Uni. This is an amazing episode, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good, dough?
Tio's Pizza. What's good?
What's going on, guys?
One of my boys from San Jose, he's been a pizza homie since 2020. And I'm excited to have you on, dude. First and foremost, what's good, dough?
Yeah, that's a question I've just been thinking about too for a while. And, you know, it's honestly just something that you can create at home and, you know, and something you could call your own and just love it, you know. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something amazing, but just something that's your own.
Yeah.
I would say is good dough.
Beautiful. Where did the name Theo's Pizza come from? Because, like, when I think of Theo's, I think Uncle Pizza.
Yeah. It honestly came just from friends. I had a nephew that we're really close in age, and we just called each other cousins, that we were cousins. We told that to everyone, and they found out that we were really, like, he was my nephew. So then they just started calling me Theo from one day to the next, and it just stuck.
It does. It's very catchy. It's
just
easy.
Stuck, so.
Theo's is short. It's easy to remember, and, like,
even at work, dude, people call me.
Do they really?
Even at work, people call me Theo's. Or, oh, it's a pizza guy, right, man? Pizza man right there.
Oh, shit.
Or, dude, oh, where the pizza's at?
So when you go to a pizzeria and they ask you for your name and you order, like, or you order coffee, do you say Theo's?
No, I just say my regular name. Okay. I don't.
Cool. Let's change gears and, like, talk about your pop-up.
All right.
How did you start selling pizza?
One of the homies was like, dude, you should start selling these, like, at the brewery. Like, I can get somebody to give you a shot, and, you know, you can give it a try, you know. And
what year was this?
Was 2020.
How many pizzas did you sell in your first event?
I think it was probably like about 30.
And were they Detroits?
No, they were actually Neapolitans.
What was the biggest thing that you learned then?
Just prep, you know, the whole prep and, you know, the whole setup and, you know, boxes. And I have pictures of how my whole setup looked like before and what it looks like, you know, what it looks like now. And it's like
completely different.
Yeah,
huh?
It's completely different.
Oh. Yeah. How many events do you think you've done since then?
I would say for sure over 100. Right? Not, I'm probably not that many. I would probably say like close to there, maybe like 70 or 80, I would say.
You pop up a lot.
Pop-ups I've done.
And you don't just pop up.
I do private events too.
Right, like, right, right.
Just for like small groups, like 50, 60 people.
I guess talk to me about how you manage that, because, like, I've done pop-ups before and shit's a lot of work, dude.
Yeah.
And you work a full-time job. How do you make it happen?
Well, I'm just lucky to have like a schedule where I'm off every day at 2:30 and
oh shit.
Yeah, we're in at 6. So, but I'm up early. I'm up before that. So it gives me a little bit of time to like do it. I prep some stuff, or I could even leave some stuff overnight and I could par bake in the morning right before work.
Mm. So what's up? Like, are you thinking I'm gonna keep popping up and working my full-time job as long as my body lets me?
Yeah, I mean, no, I got some other stuff in the works, you know, but yeah, in the meantime, we're gonna keep popping up, doing events like that.
What are the things in the works?
Just new equipment. Like I bought a commercial oven, a deck oven, planning accordingly to where I'm, what I'm gonna do with it or where I'm gonna install it. So, but.
Cool. Are you done with it? Was it the only thing you were doing today? Cheese over here?
Just cheese, yeah.
Okay, for sure. Yeah. Tight.
Yeah, it's awesome that Caleb lets me come through and shred cheese.
Yeah, man. Shred you cheese. You got the homie Caleb over here.
Yeah, and a lot of
last round, baby.
And you know, I spent a lot of last year here and being a part of the crew, and honestly, it was a huge stepping stone in learning the business and equipment and just doing different other people's pizzas and doughs, and you know, just big learning experience. So I'm grateful to have had that. You know, so.
How was he as a worker?
Match made in heaven.
Dude. Oh yeah.
It's kind of great, dude. Especially with his full time job, like straight hustler, dude.
Big time. I see it. He's always popping up and he's always working. Let's talk about your cheese real quick while we're here. How much cheese are you prepping?
Just writing, yeah, 5 blocks of Galvani, home milk mozz.
That's enough for how many pizzas?
Like about 45 pizzas.
How much is in each block? 5 pounds?
Like 5 pounds. And there's like some left over too. I was blending stuff and I was using Grande as well, but just it became difficult for me to get it. So I just, you know, started getting what was accessible to me, and it works out great.
I'm a huge fan of just like working with what you got because,
yeah,
I don't know, you're in like the pop-up scene. And so we don't really have that access to distributors like some restaurants do.
Yeah.
And so we got to work with what we got. So either going to Restaurant Depot or I don't know, where do you get your Galvani at?
I just go to Smart and Final. Looks like nobody goes and buys it. So, or I'm the only one that goes and buys all the blocks.
They stock it for you.
Right.
So prior to shredding this much cheese at Caleb's, what were you doing then?
At home?
Yeah.
I was doing it at home.
Yeah.
I'd sit down and just pour myself a cold beer and just sit down and shred cheese for.
For hours?
It'd probably take like about an hour.
What were you using? What was the best tool at home?
I just had like a big block of cheese grater, and then I would just cut it into slices like that, and then just sit down, and then switch to standing up so I could get a little more strength. And
you guys ever try that KitchenAid cheese grater attachment?
I've seen it before. It looks like it shreds it weird or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I haven't even seen it.
I've seen it before. It looks like it shreds it all weird. I've seen other people post it, and like it's good enough that you shred for one pizza, but like I don't think it could handle like bricks, you know? Like,
there's this equipment out there. I don't know what they call it. There's a name for it too. It's fancy, but like it looks like you're pulling a lever down, and it's just like killing the cheese, and it's doing blocks and blocks and blocks at a time.
Yeah, I've seen one at the expo that would look like a thing, and they just like put the cheese in there and it just goes. It's like a paper shredder for cheese, dude.
Yeah, that's a good one. What time are you heading over to DTSJ?
15, 20 minutes.
Okay, I'll roll over there with you and then we can shoot you setting up.
A lot of pizza makers are using the wrong type of olive oil for their dough. Let me explain. Using commodity olive oil can have a detriment to your pizza, and I'm talking about a huge one. Whether it's rancidity or a nasty smell, you don't want that on your masterpiece. Say goodbye to commodity oil and say hello to Corto olive oil. Corto olive oil is the ultimate choice for pizza makers like us. Why? Because they use quality olives, they harvest it at their peak, and they store it securely so that when you purchase the olive oil, it is fresh. They pick their olives at their peak, they harvest it, and they secure it in a safe way. That way, it's ready for you when you make your purchase. The choice is yours. Do you want an explosion of flavor, or do you want that nasty, bitter taste on top of your pizza or in your dough? Anytime you need some Corto olive oil, Use the link in the show notes or DM me and I'll send you that link personally. I appreciate you for supporting me and my show sponsors.
So as a general rule of thumb, what time do you start getting to a spot to set up?
At least an hour before you know, serving time, or before, you know, we start going, just to make sure everything is, you know, in line and yeah, and give enough, the ovens enough time to heat up too.
So. And then earlier you were saying, just in case you forget something too, right?
Yeah, in case you forget something too, you know, if I had to run to the store, pick some stuff up last minute, or I forget a spoon, I'll have to call my mom, or I forget the whole tub of basil or something, or there's always something that happens. So that's one thing I've learned too, just prepare for the worst. And, you know, even though, you know, the better prepared you are, the smoother things are gonna go. It's the way that I've started learning, figuring this out, that, you know, the better prepared you are, the way smoother things are gonna flow.
So what are the essentials that you have in your car every single time? You got a tent all the time?
I have a tent, I got coolers, I have a little portable stove that runs on on propane.
What do you use the portable stove for?
To heat up sauce.
Got it. So you serve the sauce, you drizzle the sauce on post-bake.
Yeah, post-bake, yeah.
Got you. Oh. Why don't you sauce it in the pan while you're cooking in the uni?
For me, at least, I've had experience where the sauce starts to reduce, and then it starts to affect the edge of the pizza, and it's just happened to me too much. So I just figure that it tastes. I don't know. I like it better after the bake. You just, you know, put the sauce on there as well, and it's not over-baked. It's just warmed. You know, it's not cooked either. So I think it changes the taste of the sauce when it gets cooked.
Kind of like what was happening to us last week.
But that was too, I think, with the olive oil. It was, once you reduced that, they started coming out a lot better.
One of the things I hope to talk to you about is like your cooking setup and how you cook Detroit style pizzas in mass or in bulk via the uni ovens.
Yeah. I mean, it honestly took a while to figure out, you know, how to make like nice pizzas in there and not overcooking them or baking them. And honestly, it was a tip that I learned from another pizza maker that really helped. You know, Jane Doe, uh-huh, from Santa Cruz. I went over to one of her pop-ups and I got to hang out with her and talk pizza. And, you know, I noticed that she was using the Lloyd lids on top of the pizza, like, post, like during the bake, and you know, and kind of started asking her questions about it, and she said, oh, it helps, like, you know, make the cheese crust before, you know, the flame attacks the shit out of all the ingredients, and, you know, and burn stuff, and which was happening to me, and I wasn't getting like the nice edge that I wanted, you know. And and, you know, I was doing the low and slow method too, and, you know, it was just taking forever, and especially doing it at pop-ups at a brewery or something like that, it takes a long time. At home, that's fine, you know, but at the brewery, you have a bunch of people waiting and stuff,
so yeah, rolling.
Exactly, yeah. So
okay, I gotta see these pans now. Do they not like get fucked up?
No, they get like a little bit like that, but I mean, I wash them every single time.
Yeah, no, but like the point is like it this thing right here, this edge,
yeah,
it covers it.
Yeah, it covers the pan completely, so it doesn't.
Even though it's like kind of warping,
yeah,
on the edges.
Yeah, it's kind of, this will cover it completely. So all you see if it's like moving a little bit, you'll see just steam come out of there, dude. And then you just take this off, and the pizza's like, it's like if. Beautiful. You made it in the home oven, dude.
Damn.
And then after you just take it off, the last part of the bake, you just take it off.
You put it on top? Yeah. Oh, shit. It fits snugly on there.
Yeah, see? And then there's even like a little, maybe like a little bit of holes right there too. So air kind of flows out of there too. So then after the last part of the bake, you just take it off, and that's when the oven just acts like a broiler feature pretty much, and it's just toasting the cheese and then the pepperoni and making them cup even more, and all of that stuff happens. So that's when all the toastiness happens.
Let me ask you then, for the par bakes though, do you use the lids? When you're par baking?
Oh, I mean, at home, no. I just use the
uncovered.
Yeah, but I've heard folks talk about it before, and I just haven't tried it yet, and it's definitely something I'm gonna try.
Does the lid get your dough wet though, like the pizza?
No, one? No, it doesn't. No,
oh.
No. I think it just helps like keep it like keeps the heat inside of there, honestly. And
are your bottoms crispy?
Yeah, honestly, I par bake the, because honestly in the uni it doesn't do a whole lot to the the stone doesn't do a whole lot to the bottom of the pizza in the pan.
You're relying on the top heat.
Yeah, honestly, just relying on the top heat. The bottom of it might get a little bit crispy, but the pizza's already like baked enough.
Do you have par-bakes right now that you can show me? So will it get much darker than that?
A tiny bit browner. That's about it.
That's it.
That's all it really needs. Like look at this one.
Okay.
It's like it might just get a little bit more browner than that one. Like these ones are a little bit more well done, but. We could see like they'll get a little bit more, but they're.
So my boy was asking me the other day, when you par bake, you just wrap them up and then what? They're good for a day?
They're good for like, I would say like 2 days. Just make sure you keep them like in a dark place, cold place, or keep them in the fridge and they'll be good for like at least 2-3 days. Cool. But yeah, I know folks that par bake like about like 300 of them.
Yeah.
And then just you know, they just store them for the weekend service or the week service, you know.
Keep them in a cool dark place so that they don't get moldy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they're, you know, airtight box, you know, or in the fridge.
Okay.
You know?
Let's talk cake circles. I feel like you're the reason why I'm such a huge fan of them.
Yeah, I mean it's convenient, and you know, at the end of the day, it's better. You know, it's easy to serve on one of these than take home a plate or take home and something to wash it on. And you just serve it on one of these, a sheet of wax paper, and
done
deal. You know, so
and it's cheaper than a box.
Yeah, it's cheaper than a box, and it's like I think it was like $25 for a pack of 100 of them. So. And they're only like a couple bucks more depending on the size. I honestly went to a pop-up like when I was first starting to do pizza, and I saw someone do it. I was like, dude, this is genius. Like I didn't think there's like really, that's like the disposable plates of pizza, you know.
Yeah, I mean it serves, you could eat off of it, and again, much more affordable than a box. Probably more eco-friendly too, because it's only just cardboard, right?
Yeah, it's just a sheet of cardboard.
Yeah, so you're using less waste.
Yeah, or if people could take that, if you know, I ran out of boxes, I can give people one of those and they put their slice on there. Or
there you go.
So how it works out.
So how many people do you have helping you today?
I got one more person coming.
One more person?
Yeah, one more person.
You mind if I get you on the recording?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. What's your name, man?
Mike?
Yeah.
How long have you been working with Theo's?
Shit, I've been working with them for a few months now.
Yeah?
We've been doing a lot of kind of pop-ups at a couple breweries, like Narrative, Strike, and here. And we actually been doing, when I first started with them, we were doing graduation parties. And that's when I kind of figured out, like, damn, this is something everyone likes, because they kept coming back for more and more.
Yeah. It's the parties that are the best for me, at least, because it's like, everyone's so happy. Everyone loves that you're there.
Absolutely, and like, the one thing that feedback we always get is like it's different, you know. There's always taqueros, there's always right. You know, something like that at the parties and everything, but now having someone actually come and make pizzas for you, a lot different.
Hell yeah.
And everyone loves pizza. I haven't met too many people that don't like pizza.
I haven't met somebody yet either, so let's hope it stays that way.
Oh, absolutely.
What temperature are you par baking at?
This, it's like about, honestly I haven't checked in a while, but I honestly just let it heat up like about a good 20-30 minutes. And I would say the stone temperature is like around 600, almost 700. And then from there, I just turn it down to the low temp, you know, and then I just cook it in the low setting the whole entire time.
So that's the temperature you're baking at?
Yeah.
What about par bakes at home?
550.
550?
For four minutes. And I have stones too. So it gives the stone, I let the stone heat up like 600 some, I forgot, somewhere close to there. But yeah, I just par bake for 4 minutes at 550 and gives it that nice oven spring that I like.
Are you looking to level up your pizza game? If so, I highly suggest that you check out Ooni, the unrivaled leader when it comes to pizza ovens. Ooni pizza ovens are a total game changer. With the ability to reach up to 900 degrees Fahrenheit, you'll have the power to be able to make the pizza of your dreams. What I love about Ooni is their portability and versatility. You can bring them anywhere, or you can keep them on your patio or in your backyard. And you can make a ton of different styles of pizza with it. They're so fun to use. And guess what? You can use them to start your pizza business too. So whether you're a passionate home pizza baker or a budding entrepreneur, you gotta get with Ooni. Use the affiliate link in the show notes. That way, you can let my sponsors know that you heard about them through What's Good Dough. Thank you for supporting me and my sponsors.
So earlier we talked about you buying an oven.
I did buy an oven, and honestly, I was just hesitating to pull the trigger. Like, I've been shopping around and been wanting to get a Peerless for the longest time, and just the size of it makes sense. Yeah, I was just shopping around online and on Facebook Marketplace, and I came across that Marsal oven, and it's like about, it's a single deck oven, and it looks like it was part of like the top piece of a dual deck.
Wow.
That was the ad I found right there.
You got it for $2,500?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I bought all the attachments and everything just to be able to connect it to propane if I wanted to go that route, but I still like need to build a frame for it with wheels or something just so I could roll it around as well. So that's the next step. So
a lot of work.
Build a frame for it, which I have friends that, you know, have access to welding equipment, and I mean, I went to school for welding as well, so I'm pretty sure I could manufacture it myself, but what's it called? Yeah, I just need to get on board with that and building a mount for it, or figure out where I'm gonna take it. Ideally, you know, I'd wanna open my own little brick and mortar place. Actually, some dude called me yesterday, hella randomly, like, and I was like, all right, what's up? And then he's like, ah, like, I tried your pizza at like one of the pop-ups or whatever, and you know, it's great, you have a great product, and you know, I own 4 restaurants here in San Jose, and I just acquired a property in South San Jose. It's a pizza restaurant that closed down, and there's a, what's it called, conveyor belt oven, and like just, it's fully equipped and stuff. And he's like, oh, well, what would it take, you know, like for me to get your business in here, you know, like. And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, and the guy's like, oh, well, I know it's like a 4th of July weekend. Like, I'm gonna call you like in 2 weeks, and we could sit down, maybe have a meeting and talk about, you know, possibly getting you in here or something. I was like, all right, cool. You know, I thought about it, but I was like, this, I don't know. I kind of feel like this dude's just trying to like, you know, I don't know, trying to make money off, I don't know, like off of my idea. I'd rather just do it myself, you know, get a lease on my own, and that way there's no interest in the guy owning the, you know, like, I don't know, because the guy said it would be a partnership. I'm not sure about that. I'd rather just, you know, kind of do things on my own, at my own pace, no matter how long it takes, you know, like, I kind of feel like I don't, you know, at the end of the day, I want to be the only owner of Theo's Pizza, you know. I don't want somebody else to be like, oh, well, I'm providing the property for you, or, you know, come at me that way, or, you know, or like, at the end of the day, you know, like, I would feel a lot better knowing that it's my gig, you know, it's not no one else's, you know.
Partnerships can get messy, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I don't even know the guy. So the guy just randomly called me, you know, so.
I think of Andrew Bellucci, man. And he had his partner, and his old partner had drama. And that shit sucked. They ended up going to like court,
right?
Yeah, I don't know the entire history, but from what I remember hearing here and there is that they just didn't agree with how certain things were getting done. He opened a pizzeria like down the street and was like, well, I'm gonna sue your ass. He's like, you can't sue me, it's my last name.
Yeah. Wasn't there like law or like laws against that, or you know, like naming a business the same, or copyright laws or anything like that?
Well, he said the one was called Bellucci's.
No.
The other one was called Bellucci's Pizzeria.
Okay.
So I don't know all the legal stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, there's some fucking words exchanged and court and all that shit, and it's just drama. I don't want to have to deal with that. So I feel you. If you don't want to partner with people, I don't blame your ass.
Yeah, dude, and especially like, I mean, I don't know that guy either. And I have folks that want to partner with me that I know. So I'd rather do that. I'd rather go that route, you know. And
there you go. Would you? I mean,
yeah, but I have friends that, like, one of my friends was like, he used to manage SP2 and a couple other restaurants and business and tap rooms and businesses and stuff. So he has a ton of experience in the food industry, and, you know, he's honestly been giving me good advice since the beginning, since Theo's Pizza started, you know, and I honestly want to partner with him and, you know, possibly like open a tap room, you know, and have a, you know, pizza slice shop next door, you know, in the same building, you know, so.
That's the dream.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's what's hopefully next.
Right, hell yeah, dude, that's the plan.
Oh, let me ask you, what's one mistake in pizza, business, or life that people should avoid?
I would say just taking risks, man. Like, don't be scared to go out there and, you know, and fail. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, you got to be able to go out there and be able to, you know, comfortable with not succeeding. You know, that's honestly what's gonna help you grow. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I learned. You know, I've always had stage fright, and I even played in like bands and stuff like that. At the end of the day, like, you know, just stop caring too much about what other people think and just do it at the end of the day, you know.
Got one life.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful, dude. What do you want to leave the audience with?
I would just say, you know, like, if pizza's your passion and, you know, if you love this or whatever it is you love, you know, just give it your all, you know. You honestly don't know how long you'll be here, and, you know, and I don't know, leave a piece of yourself for the world to enjoy once you're not here anymore. You know?
Solid.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for being on.
For sure, man. Thank you, Idriff.
What's happening? What's good, though? It's your boy, Idriff. And if you're thinking, whoa, that just brought me back to a place long, long time ago where Idriff used to do one long podcast. None of this, oh, he'll break it down into three parts to make it more digestible, blah, blah, blah. If you're part of that old crew and you are missing the old style podcast, don't you worry. I've been listening to your feedback and I got you, fam. Here's the thing. I am making these shorter podcasts for people who are just jumping onto the What's Good Dough train today in 2023. But if you miss the old podcasts and you want to listen to them from beginning to end in just one go, heck, if you want to listen to the podcasts with no ads, I have two solutions for you. The free solution is that you can sign up for my email list. If you sign up for the email list, there is a link in the show notes, and I will invite you to my private podcast feed. There you will get one episode every time there's a new podcast episode from beginning to end, no ads, all in one take. No more waiting for this part one, part two, part three stuff. I got you. The second way is if you sign up for Patreon. There you will get exclusive content plus the podcast from beginning to end, no ads. So free, sign up for the email list, or not free, supporting your boy, you can go ahead and get exclusive content and ad-free listening all in one go. All of that is going to be linked in the show notes. I appreciate you. I love you. Till next time. Peace. Hey, home pizza makers. What's good, dough? It's time for you and me to partner up together and make pizzas for good. How do we do that? You and I will be doing pizza parties nationwide to raise money for Slice Out Hunger. And yes, it is starting now. So if you want to be a part of my team and make pizzas for good, you can register to be a part of Team What's Good Dough. And yes, it is welcome to all bakers, whether you're just starting off or you're a seasoned pop-up pro. Let's make pizza for good together.